Hallelujah. Well, good morning, saints. Morning, friends. How's everyone doing this morning? Praise God. Welcome to Healing Class, House on the Rock Church. And we're going to start out with a time of prayer this morning. I'm excited. I hope you're excited, and I hope you're set, and that you're ready for this session. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this glorious time, glorious hour. Give you praise for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for healing made sure by the cross of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the truth and the reality to which we have been called. And thank you, Lord, above all, for manifestation and evidence this morning, in this room, in this place, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be back, and this morning I want to start off with a quick testimony. How many know the effects that testimonies have by way of encouragement, by way of thanksgiving, opportunity once again to give glory to God, which should be a constant state of being, that of one of thanksgiving to God in every situation, every circumstance, okay? All right. This says, I had been dealing with migraines for 4 days on and off. Now, at House on a Rock, a member of the church, Julie, prayed that the migraine would be gone in the name of Jesus. The migraine left and did not return. This was from Teresa, and I thought it was awesome. It's short, concise, yet powerful. Even migraines can't remain, okay? Now, it says it's been bugging her for about 4 days, on and off. I don't know how many of us can know how terrible that gets, how debilitating that is, to have that constant pain, excruciating there. Receive prayer by a Hard Rock member, and healing manifested instantly. Amen? Praise God. That's powerful. So, I have a question this morning for us as we go along. I thought that testimony was quite insightful. The question is, how do we see ourselves as it concerns authority? I titled it this morning, Beholding Your Authority. Beholding Your Authority. When the ups and downs of life come by, when the health challenges stare you particularly and personally in the face, in your own situation, in your own circumstance, in your own body, what is that thing that wells up in your heart? Does your mind immediately go to reflect on, ponder on, stand solid on the fact that you have authority? One, two, that you are in a position of authority in relation to that situation or circumstance, regardless of the source of that matter, regardless of the source of that issue. How does authority come? A question. As always, Healing Class will always be interactive, and the whole purpose and point will be to get us to ask questions and answer questions as it relates to healing. Now, the thrust of this particular class will center more on the issue of ministering healing. But even in doing that, it's good for us to have at the back of our minds that that still relates to us. That still relates to you in a personal way, in a personal manner as well, especially as it concerns authority. Beholding your authority. How does authority come? I'm asking that question. Does it come by being a pastor? Does it comes from God? Thank you. Does it come by being a prayer team member? We just had that testimony about a church member, a member of the family here, House on the Rock, just ministering in power, and boom, instantly, manifestation resulted by the power of God, strictly. Migraine gone. So how does authority come?
Well, you have to be saved first.
Okay. Now, thank you. You have to be saved. But I want us to drill down. That's always my purpose here at Healing Class. Because here's what it is, friends. The topical issues or the matters that we discuss or that we get into are not going to be, I was going to use another word, high-sounding stuff. It's not going to be, oh, something, I'm not going to come here and talk about something you've never, ever, ever in your life heard about before if you've been in the Word or if you're in relationship with God or if you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So it's not going to be, oh, something out of the blue. But the point is we're going to drill, the purpose is to drill down as we consider these truths so that our hearts get what? Solidified in that to which we've been called to. So that we not only know it as a matter of, okay, head knowledge or just, you know, being conscious or just being aware of it, but that our hearts are steeped in the truth and that when that, in quote, ailment, or when that health challenge comes up, only one thing wells up in your heart. Your face, your demeanor, everything, your heart, your mind should only immediately run in a particular direction. And that's why I'm trying to emphasize this morning and get our hearts to consider this. How does authority come? When that disease or that symptom hits or tries to come. We talked the last time, just as I said, before, you know, before I left a couple of weeks ago, how that, okay, we're not ruled by senses. Okay, so, but how many know those always seem to always want to grab our attention? Why? Because they're before our what? They're right there. Right there. You can't help it. It's like, ooh, okay, here I am. Doris, you have, you were going to say something.
The word should flood up in our hearts. The word should flood up in our hearts and become foremost. Okay. Take precedence over everything else. And as we walk in that, it will.
Amen. So the word should take precedence. Or precedence. You had something? Okay. So let's go deeper. What is it about the word? We're talking about authority, beholding your authority. So what does the word have to say about authority? These are the things that should be steeped in our hearts. These are the things that should be right there. So, yes, the word. So, but what does the word say about it? In order to be able to understand, as we'll see from a couple of passages now, in order to be able to understand your authority, friends, I'm saying this morning, it behoves us, if I can use that expression, that is, it's important for us as individuals, as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High, to always be in a position of constantly beholding your authority. Looking at it, contemplating it, meditating on it, if you will, having it before your very eyes. And that's why when something tries to come, a disease by whatever name, a symptom, whether you've experienced it in the past, or whether it's something new altogether, or whether it's a different challenge from that which you've, you know, which has ailed you or challenged you in the past, there'll only be one particular resolve in your heart as it concerns that issue or matter. And that will be the fact that it has no place or abiding, continuing city or abiding place in your body, which is a temple of who? So what does the word say about authority? Beholding your authority. Anyone? Brad.
Jesus said, I give you authority over all the unclean spirits and mm-hmm. over every disease to mm-hmm. heal the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The lepers raised dead.
Hallelujah. Luke 9. Luke in chapter 9. Let's see a couple of passages. Luke in chapter 9. Verse 1. Today I'm going to spend some time in the Passion Translation. That's how I'm going to just speak and share it this morning. As I share my heart. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He gave them power and authority. Now, before I take the next portion in there, it's Luke 10. We're going to go to Luke 10. But I want you to notice, it says he gave them what? Power and authority. Now, it's important to note, as ardent students of God's word, that as it concerns authority, when we speak concerning authority, authority never truly stands alone. Authority never truly stands alone. Did you hear me say that? Authority never truly stands alone. Because authority goes with what?
Power.
Goes with power. Authority goes with power. It's important to note that. Another portion, whether you look at Acts 10:38 or whether you look at Luke 4:36, Acts 10:38, in Luke 4, we're saying concerning Jesus, oh, he speaks with such great power and authority. And we know how he went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. With great power and authority. So it never stands alone. Luke 10. Luke 10 talks about when Jesus sent out the 70. In two groups. The 70. Telling him, and he told them, gave them authority and told, sent them out. And they returned. And Jesus responded, oh, I saw Satan fall from heaven, like lightning. Something in that regard. Verse 19. I'm reading from the Passion. It says, Luke 10, verse 19. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. Talking about Satan's kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. So it's important, friends, we are to walk in this authority. But how do we walk in this authority if we do not carry the consciousness, the awareness, the recognition of the authority which we have, of the authority which we wield, and the authority wherein we stand as a position? As a position. So part of beholding your authority this morning, I'm challenging us, I'm encouraging us, assume the position. It's not when an infirmity knocks at the door that you assume the position. You assume the position as a child of the living God. That's your state of being. That's who you are. That's your conscious state. And that state can only come, as we'll see as we move on today, as Doris pointed out, by the word. A giving over to God's word. To actually see it live the way God intended, the way God has passed it on. For us to know, to understand, recognize, to walk in, and to enjoy. I was reading. It says, absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. However, verse 20. However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. Hallelujah. Your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source. Someone say true source.
True source. True source.
Of your authority.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
So here's me bringing it to you this morning as led of the Spirit. Hebrews 12:23. Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 23. It's important that you know this. It's crucial that this is anchored in your heart. And hear me say clearly. Hebrews 12, verse 23. From the Passion as well. And as members of the church of the firstborn, that is Jesus, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. So as a child of God, as a son and daughter of the Most High this morning, I'm saying to you, as a Christian, as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus, you are not, let me say it clearly, you are not trying to make heaven. You are not trying to get there. You are not struggling or trudging in this life trying to make it in by the skin of your teeth. I'm saying to you this morning already, you are a citizen of heaven already. Enough of all the bamboozling whereby children of God are not sure of who they are. Of whether, it's a settled matter or a settled issue. And friends, this ties in with the issue of authority. If you're not convinced, if you don't know the truth, and that's why the question was, how does authority come by? If you say you have authority, I have authority. How is it so? You need to know how it is so, why it is so, so that in that day, you'll be able to stand. And because this is healing class, obviously it's in relation to healing. But then you'll be able to stand. Having done all to stand, you do what?
Stand therefore.
And I repeat, I don't care what the name of the infirmity is. I don't care what the name of the disease is.
Right.
I don't care what the source is. You have authority over that. Beholding your authority. So you're beholding it never to forget. You're beholding it never to lose that consciousness. You're beholding it never to lose that awareness. So that when that symptom comes, there's only one, if it stands you what? It finds you what?
Standing.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That was the first clause of it. And Philippians 3:20, thank you, Lord, also bears credence in that regard. I believe it says, Philippians 3:20, it says our citizenship is where? Is of heaven. From whence we look for the coming of the Savior, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes on to talk about something glorious that he does by his power. Mm-hmm. As it concerns the transforming of our bodies, our mortal bodies. It's awesome, friends. You change nativity. Saying, oh, my grandfather had that disease. My father had that disease. So I also have to have that disease. No, you don't. Because you were already set free. Because you already delivered from that. Look at it. Look at the second clause. We were at Luke in chapter 10. It says, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven. We've seen that. And that happens when you believe. The moment you believe, that's when you're born into the body. That's when you're born, introduced into the church, what we refer to as the church. And that you belong to God's kingdom. That's the second part of it. This is the true source of your authority. So when you believed in Christ Jesus, in that finished work, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, you were born into his kingdom. Colossians 1:13 has that. Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, or from the kingdom of darkness, or from the authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son, is Jesus. You've been translated, you've been catapulted, you've been expunged from that kingdom or that sphere of influence. Now you are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his beloved son, kingdom of power. What does that make you?
King's kid.
Go. King's kid, yes. What does that make you? Thank you.
More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror. What does that make you?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. What does that make you?
Victorious.
Victorious. What does that make you? Come on, there's more. Everyone, this should be flowing. That's why you're beholding your authority. What does that make you?
Deeply loved.
Deeply loved. What does that make you?
Like him.
Sorry?
Like him.
Like him. What does that make you? With power and authority. What does that make you?
Righteous.
Sorry?
Righteous.
Righteous. What does that make you?
Free.
Free. What does that make you?
Healthy.
Healthy. What does that make you? An overcomer.
That's right.
What does that make you? Far above what? Come on, friends. What does that make you? Where are you seated? Come on, friends. So these are the things, and much more that should be right at the surface of your heart. It's steeped in there, but then it's just right there waiting to do what? Come on. Come on now. It's like you can't wait to have at it. What was that? Migraine? Boom. In the name of Jesus. And we'll see some practical things from scriptures as well in this regard. It just means that, friends, you're set. Like a soldier in battle. I'm not saying you are in a war. If you don't know that you're in a war. How many understood that? Because you're in this life, right? You're in this world, right? So are you going to face things?
Yes.
Okay, so you... I'm saying you're set. It doesn't mean you're on edge and weary and tired and always
depressed
and upset or whatnot. No. Just means that you know that the greater one lives, dwells, and abides where on the inside of you, you have his power and you have authority. You're set. Any questions so far? Questions, thoughts? Input? Yes, Doris.
I was just thinking, Pastor, God deals with me in analogies. And I remember when I was young, my mother did day work. She left the home to do day work. And when she left,
she would always tell me in front of my brothers, she's leaving me in charge. Hmm. And when you spoke that word authority, that came to me. And she told them to do what I said do. So I had authority, and that came to me this mind when you spoke about authority, the authority that we have. And when she left and closed that door.
They better not test you. They not test me. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8. Let's see authority in motion. Let's see authority in action. You know, put this down before we see that. As it relates to the believer, John in chapter 1, 11 through 13, you know, I mentioned it in passing, but we didn't necessarily have to go there because we've gone over that in the past. To those who believed in him, he gave them the authority to what? Become the sons of God. It's important to know that. It's by your rebirth, friend. It's by the rebirth. That's the origin. That's the source. That's when you became one with him and were born into his kingdom as a son, as a daughter. And authority attaches with that. Never forget. Okay? So it's a position. It's not something you get and then you lose. The only point is, are you aware and maximizing that? Or are you just allowing yourself to be beaten, battered, and bruised because you're not aware of who you are, where you are, and who dwells on the inside, what you wield, okay? And whose you are, who you belong to, okay? All right. We're at Matthew in chapter 8. Sorry, did I say 8? Let me take it from a couple of verses earlier. Verse 5. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, verse 7, I will go with you and heal him. Verse 8. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. Did you see that? It says, I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. Dorothy, does that kind of relate to what you were talking about earlier? Okay, that's just a sidebar. Okay. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing yes. over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Understanding authority. And I'm saying understanding authority comes with you beholding. You've got to pay attention. You've got to see it. You have to understand it. And you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And he'll open this up. But you need to be open first. By that interaction, by that fellowship, by that koinonia with the Word. Jesus, verse 10, was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him. Okay, we can skip that. Verse 13, because of time. Then Jesus turned to the Roman, basically Jesus was surprised, astonished and said, I've not seen greater faith than anyone. Let me put it this way. Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Why did Jesus make that statement? Because this dude, this Roman officer, there were divine keys, which he just kind of just threw out there in understanding authority. I know who I am. I'm under and I have authority. And I just say the word and it obey. They obey the command. Command, instruction. Anyway, verse 13. Then Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said, go home. All that you have believed for will be done for you. And his son was healed at that very moment. He understood it. Stand right here. Say the word. Stand right here. Declare it. And then see. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone says, well, the guy had such great faith to be able to say that. Right? And that's awesome. Remember, I'm talking about authority in motion, authority in action. That's a great example right there. Yes, the guy understood it. So as individuals who carry this power, who wield this authority, it's important to also understand how it works. And as always, as it concerns divine matter, divine truth, friends, you can't really put that in a box and just say, okay, this is the way and this is the only way that is going to happen. Or you're telling Father, you say, Lord, this is how it's going to happen. You can't do that. How do I know? Let's read on. Verse 14. Then Jesus went into Peter's home and found Peter's mother-in-law bedridden, severely ill with a fever. Verse 15. The moment Jesus touched her hand, she was healed. Immediately she got up and began to make dinner for them. Authority and power in motion. That portion. Now here we see touching, right? In the earlier instance, he did what? Spoke the word from what? Distance. Right? In this instance, in this happening, in this event, he's right there with Peter's mother. Does he say a word? What did he do? Touched her. Touched her hand, and she was healed. Immediately she got up. So strength, everything, right there. Bang. She got it. She got up and served. A touch. Does it say anything about her faith in that regard? It's important to understand this, friends. Because sometimes we want to say, oh, okay, it's always going to be, yeah, but then we've got to leave room for manifestation of what I'd like to call, oh my God, forgive me for saying this, but just demonstration of raw power. Did you hear him say that? R-A-W.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to be alive to this and open to it. Especially when, for example, if you're ministering to an unbeliever, it doesn't matter what the situation is. You're the one that you wield this power, you wield this authority. Sometimes we're always wanting those formulas to say, okay, this was this and this is when this happens. But as it concerns the divine, I'm looking at the word. That's great, that's awesome, but it doesn't always have to follow a particular pattern. You've got to be open. And that's why it's important to understand authority. If you know who you are, my word, you're not limited. Okay, that was the second one. Third one, and then I'll leave it for questions, if you have questions or thoughts in this regard. Look at the third one, verse 16. That evening, the people brought to him many who were demonized. And by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment. And everyone who was sick received their healing. Did you hear that? Did you see that? He only did what? Spoke a word of healing. So, no touch in the manner of speaking. So I'm saying this one, the scope and gamut, the scope of authority and the power which you wield as a child of God. To be truthful, friends, which I wield, which you wield, really can't be held bound. Don't limit his ability. Don't limit his presence in your life. Don't limit his ability in you and through you. Don't. Be open. Be open. You have his life in you. You have his nature in you. You have his spirit in you. He dwells on the inside of you. Christ living, dwelling, residing on the inside of you, the hope of glory. I believe Colossians 1, 17, if I'm correct. You have his spirit on the inside. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He dwells in you because your body is his temple. Beholding your authority. Any questions? Any thoughts? Questions? Yes, Ross.
So our authority is to release
or command a healing with the authority that we have, but don't assume you know how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit has the right to do it any way he wants.
Correct. And the sense, and excellent. And then the thing is, friends, you're walking in obedience in the sense of, for example, Mark 16, 17. You're walking in obedience in the doing. We talked about this the last time. You know? So, in faith, you're stepping out. I mean, I don't know how you'd be out there if it wasn't in faith anyway. You know, whether it's in your home, at your job, in your house, right here, on the streets, wherever. Where you drop the kids off at the swimming place, whatever, in the gym, on the streets, in the shops, at the stores, regardless. So you're stepping out in faith, and you're just doing. You're not trying to say, okay, this is exactly how this is going to happen. If the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is how I'm going to move right now, he told Philip, okay, join yourself to that chariot. So you're walking based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you're just being obedient in the doing. So you are, that's exactly right.
Amen.
Thank you. Questions? Thoughts? Additions? Input? Okay. All right. Praise God. So it's all about beholding. How do we behold? We touched on that earlier on. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalm 119. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 162. I'm reading from the Passion. Your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. Where are God's promises? Where do we see highlights? Where do we behold those? Okay. Your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. So it's not anything to do with this life or the things of this life or the good things of life. It's good things of life, in quote. Okay. It says, the revelation of your word thrills me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Your promises are the source of my bubbling joy. The revelation of your word thrills me. Like one who has discovered hidden treasure. Do we think that just comes about just willy-nilly? It takes fellowship, takes intimacy, takes commitment, takes love. It's a love affair, friends. Because of the great love wherewith he loved you, loved us. And we get to love him in return. Verse 163. I despise every lie and hate every falsehood. So I want to say here at this point, you despise every lie and hate every falsehood as it relates to sickness, as it relates to disease, any foul thing, which isn't God. We know the source isn't God. There's a disdain and mode, way, which we should see that or appreciate that. It says, I despise every lie, every lying symptom, every lying sign, every false report, negative report. It says, for I am passionate about keeping your precepts. So friends, when that comes, as I started with, And your authority, if your authority and the power which you wield is at the forefront of your heart, guarding your heart, is garrisons your heart and is guarding your heart and mind, what's going to be the response? If you despise, as I just said, symptoms, disease, whatever it is, if you despise that, if you abhor that, every falsehood, what's going to be the response? What's going to be elicited from you? What's going to come out? Sorry?
Healing your body.
But based on what we've gone through this morning, all that we've considered this morning, as it concerns, okay, let me hop back to authority in motion, authority in action. What is the response?
You respond out of your identity.
Yes. And
as a son of God, as a child, as a daughter of God, so you'll act like a citizen of heaven.
Okay. And how does that come out?
With authority and power.
Yes. Amen. And how does that come out?
Yes.
We saw the example.
You rebuke whatever it is that's trying to take up residence.
You rebuke whatever it is?
Yes. With the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
With praise, worship, and thanksgiving.
Praise, worship, and thanksgiving. How about command instruction?
That's right.
If you realize I am a man or I am a woman, a lady, boy, whatever it is, with power, with authority. And I say to this one, what? Go. Friends, if you despise anything that is contrary, if you despise, if you hate, if you see with disdain every falsehood, which isn't part of your identity, then of a truth, the position, authority welling up in your heart and an understanding of the power which you wield springs forth with issuing command. Out in the name of Jesus. Sickness, disease, you go now in the name of Christ. You have no abiding place in this body. The way I say it is my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And in this body there's no impurity. So sickness, disease, every foul symptom, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. That's what comes out because you understand who you are. You understand whose you are. You understand who's on the inside of you. That the greater one lives within. That's no joke, friends. Amen?
Amen.
That's a reaction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 165. There's such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word. And they will never be offended. There's such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word. Well-being, wholeness, health, healing, vitality, strength. Refreshing, renewing. I could go on and on. That comes to the lovers, those who love God's word,
yes.
To the lovers of your word, of God's word. Yes.
I wanted to just share, like, that so much comes down to the doing, the obedience part, you know, because we all get to walk on this truth, and then, so I was, like, in a fairly involved lunch break on Friday, and I saw a woman who really needed prayer. And the Lord even put me on the same elevator with him. You know? But my heart was like well up inside me to pray, but my mind didn't want to kind of embarrass the person. Mm-hmm. I was worried about all the worldly, you know what I mean, the outside. And I chickened out. And I heard the Lord say, I will heal her. Tell him to go, you know. And I was like, oh, I mean, you know, she's talking with her husband. I don't want to, you know. It's
right.
It comes down to the doing, because I think it's really... We're all, you know, I just want to share that so that other people can benefit from that.
Amen.
See, moments are like all the time. We're at Myers and we see people or Walmart. We're like, oh, man, you know. And then you turn your heart, the Lord's turning your heart to him because it's really not me. I'm focused on finding that next deal
right.
Or something, you know, get my item. But if your heart's like on somebody and you're concerned on, that's the Holy Spirit pointing them out. Saying, amen. I want to do this.
Now. Amen.
So please obey because you're my child.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we do based on expectation. We expect to see result. Okay? That's awesome. So whether it's depression, foul things, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, whatever it is. Lovers of God's word can well and truly live above those, free of those, rid of those by the power of the Most High. Prayer team members.
And Pastor Sean, and I was just thinking, like, when you mentioned in verse 163, the more we begin to hate the lying and the deception that Satan brings and with healing, you know, it's mm-hmm. not, the more we hate that, the more we'll find it easier to step out and just do what God, because I'm sure we've all been there. Mm. But then it comes a point where you say, you know, when it happened to me the last time, I was at the nursing home and prayed for this young man that had Parkinson's. And he's a believer. And I said, do you believe that you're healed? He said, yeah. I said, well, get up out of that bed.
Amen.
And he started floundering around trying to get up. And as he slid down, I got scared. And I said, oh, hold on. Let's catch him. Because I saw the nurses coming in and putting us out and everything. And I felt so bad after that. I told Pastor, I said, I felt so bad because we should have just let him flounder down on the floor and he would have got up, but fear set in.
I love that point, and I'll touch on that some other time. Those are real questions and considerations to talk about as an aftermath to authority. And I'd love to get into that and share that with us. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for the healings represented in this room today. Thank you, Lord, for manifestation of healing made sure. Thank you, Father, for the entrance of your word and illumination by the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for all these ones walking in authority based on that which you fully provided, gave, granted unto them, which they now have and possess. Thank you, Father, for teaching us to walk in this authority for ourselves and for others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.